Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
Starting very soon, the main determining factor of whether you are rich or poor, and there will be a widening economic chasm. The main determining factor will be whether you can afford robots. Because robots are labor amplifiers. And a person who is able to afford to purchase first one and then multiple robots will be able to earn money and run a successful business, all kinds of successful businesses, as long as they can afford the robots and then instruct them appropriately. And it's becoming clear now that robots will be able to visually learn skills in the physical 3D world by watching human beings perform those same skills. So let me explain what this is going to actually look like. In the future, you're going to pull your car into a garage, you know, a mechanics shop. And instead of there being, you know, five mechanics there, you're going to have one guy who's a mechanic and then five robots. And you'll pull your car in and he'll tell the robots what to do. He's the director of the robots. He's like, you know, go do the diagnosis, or change the oil, or flush the radiator fluid, or swap out the battery, or whatever needs to be done. And understand that those skills will be things that that mechanic taught those robots. So you still need the human who has the skills. You still need an experienced mechanic, but you just don't need a lot of them. You need one who's got a team of robots who can do the task. And those robots, because they will have opposable thumbs, as I often talk about, those robots will be able to, of course, pick up and use all the tools that a human being can pick up and use. So, you know, that robot will use all the power tools and the ratchets and, you know, everything else, right? So that's going to happen. That's coming right around the corner within the next couple of years. You're going to see that. But if there's a mechanic, a guy who's got the skills, but he can't afford a robot as a helper, then he's going to be economically displaced because he can't compete with the low cost of the robots. Because those robots will work for about $2 an hour is roughly what they're going to cost when you do all the math on this. I mean, it's going to take time to get down to that level. At first, they'll be a lot more expensive than that. But before long, they'll be about $2 an hour. And you'll be able to lease them. You don't have to purchase them all up front. You'll be able to lease them as long as you're generating revenue. But you still need the person who knows what they're doing. Now, the same thing is going to be true in dentistry, for example. You're going to have a dentist who has an office of five robots, or whatever the number is, and they're going to have like a robot receptionist too, by the way. So, you know, if you're a dental receptionist, think about learning how to prompt robots so you can be the robot manager there, you know. But the dentist is going to have special dental bots also that can actually perform the procedures. They'll be able to drill out a cavity. They'll be able to, you know, put a crown on. They'll be able to do all these different skills. But you're still going to need the human dentist to give the command and to assess what's happening in the patient's mouth, and also to have that human interaction, you know, to tell the patient, you're going to be okay. This is not a Terminator robot. It's not going to kill you by extracting your teeth. You know, we're doing a procedure. This robot has done this 1,000 times, blah, blah, blah. And it might be that the human dentist is the one that's doing the injection of the anesthesia because people might freak out. I don't want a robot with a needle. You know, I get it. I might be in the same group there. Terminator dentist. No, thank you. But you're going to have one dentist running an office where he can multiply his time. He or she, I should say, can multiply their time. The dentist doesn't have to do all the drilling any longer. The robots are going to do that. All right. Now, same thing in a landscaping business, right? So there are 1,000 examples of this, but just think about landscaping. Landscaping, you need the human who will own all these robots or lease them. They need to teach the robot, you know, how do you run this zero turn mower? How do you run this edger? You know, what does good edging look like? What's a leaf blower? You know, You got to teach the robots all these skills. They're not going to come with those skills. You got to teach them. And then you got to keep an eye on them too, especially in the early days when they go off and hallucinate and do crazy things like, you just cut all the bushes out. That's bad. We're going to have to replant those. And, you know, robots with power tools and lawnmowers, you know, can do a lot of damage if they go off the rails. So you got to keep an eye on them. And then the way this is going to work, you know, you'll have a landscaping business is like, you know, Bob's Landscaping or Bob's Robot Landscaping. And Bob rolls up and he's got a van and he opens up the side of the van and like four robots walk out of the van and they get on the lawnmower and they get on the edger and everything. And they do all the landscaping. They've got shovels and rakes and whatever is necessary. And then they load up back into the van after a couple of hours when they're getting low on batteries. And, you know, they're done because they're going to work pretty fast. Again, it's going to be a few years before this is really, really smooth, but this is going to happen. It's inevitable. And then Bob's going to drive him back to the shop to plug him in for charging. And his work is done for the day. You know, he did landscaping for one property, let's say, or maybe he can do two in a day if they're not that large, but you get the idea. The same thing is going to be true in a warehouse. Human warehouse workers will be replaced by robots, but there'll be managers in those warehouses that manage the robots and keep an eye on them and teach them skills and correct them if they've done something wrong. You're always going to need an oversight manager, at least for the time being, the way I see it. You're going to need humans in the mix. So this isn't a total replacement of all human jobs, but it is a replacement of the majority of human labor jobs, the majority. Because you don't need a human to push a broom and run a mop when a robot's going to do that so much better. And it's a multi-purpose robot. It's not just a floor-sweeping robot. It's a humanoid robot that can also stock store shelves in a grocery store, for example, or lift boxes or break down cardboard for recycling or whatever, you know. But you're going to have to teach it all of these skills. So the rise of robotics is going to be a golden age of economic abundance for people who can afford the robots. And it's going to suck for those who can't. Because the value of the labor of those people will drop. It will plunge toward $2 an hour, which is way below poverty. You can't live on that. A robot can live on that because a robot doesn't need to pay rent. And a robot doesn't need to eat. A robot doesn't need to buy insurance and all these other costs that humans have, you see. So think about this. If you have a business idea, you're going to have in the software digital realm, you're going to have AI agents. And Manus is the new AI agent from China that's kind of like the new, the DeepSeek moment for AI agents, automation. It's going to automate your desktop computer and carry out all the tasks that you would normally carry out with a keyboard and a mouse. So that's already here, by the way. But then in the labor world, it's going to be the robots that replace a lot of jobs. And the way to get ahead of this is to, number one, learn how to control these systems. So become good at prompt engineering, become good at giving commands to robots or explaining tasks to robots. And you can learn those skills right now by giving tasks to AI engines, large language models. And yes, we're still releasing our language model. We've had some setbacks and it's still coming out. It's just delayed. It's going to be at brighteon.ai. You can sign up for the watch list there right now. You can be alerted when we have it available. Hopefully it's not that far away at this point. And even though we've had some setbacks, in the meantime, I've been greatly expanding the synthetic data set for training. So actually it's going to be, the longer we take, the better trained it's going to be, it turns out. So I'm generating about 0.5 gig of data every day for additional training. So pretty good, actually. Anyway, that'll be out soon. So just practice using AI engines and then you'll know how to command robots because they're going to use basically the same logic and the same structure. And understand that you need to be very, very specific with your explanations of what you want them to do. Most humans are way too vague when they describe tasks. And so part of the skill set of being an effective manager of robots is going to be learning how to give better detailed instructions. So check it all out. Our AI website is brighteon.ai, and you can follow more of my podcasts and articles at either brighteon.com or naturalnews.com. I'm Mike Adams, and I'm going to be buying these robots as soon as they're available and putting them in the studio for you. We'll demo that in the studio. So thank you for listening. Take care.
We've got a new product at the Health Ranger store called Oat Milk Powder. Here it is, available now, and it's got just one ingredient, which is oats. I mean, check it out. It's loaded with natural minerals, and it's about 5% fat, organic oat milk powder, certified organic, laboratory tested, and it's a great base for lots of smoothies. You know, I make my smoothies every day, and I started putting it in here as well. Just gives it an extra rich and sweet taste. Actually, oat milk powder is naturally kind of sweet. And if you really want to jazz it up, you can add a banana to it, or you can put whey protein in it. Let me show you what I have on my desk here, just some ideas of some of the things that I use in my smoothies, because you know, I've been living on a smoothie for breakfast and lunch for like 20 years now. And so I'll use like cocoa Energize, I'll use whey protein, I'll put broccoli sprouts in it for the sulforaphane, and there's the oat milk powder. I also use turmeric powder and then instant coffee sometimes, but those are currently out of stock at our store, so you have to check back on those later. And you can use anthocyanins for fruit-based smoothies, etc. But now, I use a big Vitamix blender, but for those of you who want to have something more convenient for your office that's portable, we now carry the Blendy portable blenders at healthrangerstore.com. Just search for Blendy, B-L-E-N-D-I, and there's a couple different sizes there. Now, these clearly are not as strong as a Vitamix, but they're portable, great for at the workplace, great for travel. You know, you can use it in a hotel room, or, you know, you can use it on the go. You can use it, you know, traveling or in an RV or what have you. And these can blend up, you know, bananas and all these different powders and the new oat milk powder that we have as well quite successfully. And if you want to make my smoothie, it's really just put in like half an avocado and half of a big banana into the blendy with some of these other powders, like, you know, cacao powder and whey protein powder, a little bit of turmeric powder, etc. And then you're going to get a smoothie really close to what I drink every single day. So that's how you do it. And we've got these products and so much more available at healthrangerstore.com, where every purchase helps support our network and our effort to bring you technologies and solutions and knowledge for human empowerment, life, liberty, and happiness. So thank you for your support for shopping at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for all your support. Take care.